Well, a little Dick Dale. We're surfing right into Brewocracy now on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. This is our weekly chat with City Manager John Morrow, joined today with our special guest, Council Member Pam Adams. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Tim. Good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you back in your office, John.
Yeah, I decided not to wear the hospital gown anymore, so it feels refreshing to be upright.
a very good idea. I was afraid last week that you might turn around to the camera, and you know, I know how that is with the hospital gown on. So we're glad to see you in your normal spot high above the town of Port Townsend.
Yeah, and it's a real joy to have Councilmember Adams with us today, who's zooming in from North Beach, and welcome Pam.
That's right. North Beach is a little overcast. The marine layer is out there, but otherwise it's not raining at the moment.
good hyper-local weather report.
Yes, absolutely. And for those of you that may just be tuning in, this is your chance to ask questions. We have both sides of the coin here, essentially the legislative branch of Port Townsend and the executive of Port Townsend. So there is not a whole lot that goes on in Port Townsend that these two folks don't know about. The place to send your questions, dj@kptz.org. So as we wait for that, we're in a tight schedule. John's back. I'm glad to see your smiling face. And Pam Adams, I was looking at your city website. And, well, one thing that kind of jumped out at me is the duties that you have on the different committees, Transportation Committee, Climate Action, the Board of Health, Lodging Tax Advisory, Main Street HUD Committee. These are all committees that I suspect during the past year have become a much higher profile than in the past. These are critical to a lot of the things that happen here in Port Townsend. Have you had an increase? Board of Health, for number one, I mean the representative on there, that's exceptional during these times.
Yes, my duties expanded quite a bit. And the hours in front of the Zoom and the GoToMeeting screens have expanded, and also the responsibilities have expanded. But it's been a big privilege, and a fascinating year. Sad, some of it, but some of it very interesting and optimistic.
Well, and speaking of optimistic, it's hard for me. I'm being somewhat superstitious to go too far down this road, but you know, we have the pool opening on a limited basis, some going back to school. Water Street is getting its mojo back, I think, from my perspective. So it does seem like we are doing well here. As Charlie Bermant just said before this broadcast, the Seattle Times stated that Jefferson County was first in the state with vaccination. So a lot has been happening here behind the scenes to make that happen with our elected officials and our, of course, Dr. Locke and the citizens of this city and county. So thank you so much for being our voice on all these important committees. Transportation, you know, that alone, and lodging tax advisory, I imagine that's been a roller coaster this year.
It has been. We, you know, as you know, the revenues dropped deep into the negative with the fact that we didn't have a tourist coming and getting heads in beds. And so with, you know, it's been really hard on our hoteliers, hard on all of our businesses that are, intimately tied to the tourists and visitors. So yeah, it's been hard, and then so our budget has gone way down for the kind of tax money that we can spend on tourism and marketing. So yeah, it's been a hard year for those members of our committee and those members of our community.
Well, and John Morrow, you know what, my routine every Thursday is to go through our local newspapers and see how many times your name is mentioned And you're in there as usual, a few times.
Take it away.
Okay. PDN. The PDN is, the story is about the Public Development Authority, working to fix its structure. And, there has been some concern that maybe the city council potential code changes might be problematic. Some concerns from the PDA side on that. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think when you try to figure out a solution, there'll be multiple opinions. And part of what I really think that city council does really well is that they listen to all the perspectives that are brought forward, and then they make decisions that are within their authority. So that's precisely what we're doing. And we thought, you know, I have been connecting in with their interim executive director and with State Parks every week. But a joint meeting of the PDA board and city council was a good idea to foster more dialogue and kind of a direct conversation about those code changes that we're proposing, as well as give council members sort of an understanding of the restructure that's being proposed at the PDA. So just to be clear to the community, the first one's within our wheelhouse. You know, that those code changes are strictly a decision by city council. You know, it's good public process to have multiple touch points, conversations, to involve those affected. That's what we do. And the others is very within the wheelhouse of the PDA. So, you know, they within their charter can, you know, to some limit, but, you know, so far we don't see any over the line limit on their proposal to restructure themselves due to recent happenings. But of course, not being at the table, having our needs met, and being in conversation, my guess is that it doesn't result in the best decision for everybody. So we're trying to kind of get that right, and also help explain to the community, you know, who has what responsibilities and why. And, you know, I'll just say, even where I sit and I think about this every day, all the time, it's confusing. There's a lot of moving parts here, and there's actually a lot of unknowns. So I think now is a time where, you know, not heightened scrutiny, but, you know, community involvement and understanding of how these parts work is really important, so that we actually focus our energy on what we need to do to have a sustainable experience at Fort Worden and actually reflects what this community values and cares about. And, you know, I'll say this, I probably shouldn't, but, you know, I do feel an obligation to be very open and transparent and honest, particularly in this show with those who are listening, because I don't like spinning a bunch of BS, you know. So I guess I'll say, you know, I'll admit my own frustrations with what seems, especially recently, but I think historically, to be a real focus on like reputational polish and defense instead of actually the problem ahead. So I'd like to offer a call to action for all of us, really, to say that, you know, it's our sense of duty for the future of the fort. It's also a sense of, you know, calling on our own emotional maturity, really, to work through this together. I think the community deserves that. And I think, you know, whatever forgiveness and forward direction we need really requires a heavy dose of humility and perhaps even some impulse control. And I guess I'll just, you know, that's about as deep as I'll get into reflecting on the dialogue that's happened at that city council meeting, at the PDA board meeting yesterday. And we need to kind of be our best selves here. You know, people have, there are good people involved. It's not a question of how good people are or whether they, you know, care about the fort or not. I mean, that's not on the table. It's some people did some things that they shouldn't. Some people were responsible for that. They need to take responsibility, and we need to kind of move forward, because we can get stuck in this, you know, who and why, and, you know, for a very long time. And that energy is wasted not actually getting to the solution. So I think we really need to, like I said at the city council meeting, really need to pivot here. And I think the community, you know, deserves more focus on action and much less focus on polish.
Well, And that was really very well stated, because when we read about what's been written about the drama surrounding something that's so close to all of our hearts, Fort Worden, and words are thrown out there like it's hanging by a thread, it does feel like there's a panic button somewhere that could very easily be pushed, and that probably would not be the right route to take. It appears that maybe some threading the needle between control and oversight is probably with the right people. I'm optimistic that we'll get there.
Yeah, and sorry, I didn't quite answer your question, Tim. I think just briefly on the discourse around what's the right level of oversight and all that. I mean, we propose code changes that weren't, we didn't imagine would be like the final. It started the conversation. It got the community interested in what our role was and what it could be. And frankly, it got some great conversation with the PDA board members about, okay, what would in state parks really about, what's too far and what's not. I don't think words like overreach, which were used yesterday, are that appropriate to use here. We're not looking for more trouble here. I've got plenty on my plate. I know council does too. We're not looking to control everything. That's actually not our role. But I think, I would ask those who think that the status quo is somehow tolerable to reconsider that, because, enhanced oversight, enhanced accountability, enhanced reporting are must-haves from my perspective. Devil's in the detail and what the wording is, but, it's a little tone deaf to think that no change is needed.
Well, thank you for that. And it's one of the beauty of being live on the air is that it's totally unfiltered. What you say is unfiltered. It comes right from you and it's out there. And God knows there are times I've said things on air that I wish I could bring back from the ether. But it's...
You have a job tomorrow, Tim.
Yeah. Well, but to have people like you and Pam Adams and the rest of the city council on here willing to be in that moment, I really do appreciate. Pam Adams.
I could just say one thing. Yeah, everything, I agree with everything that John just said. And I just wanted to say too that the council really, really wants to be able to see that what was in the original charter is still still working, which is the lifelong learning aspect of the fort. That was one of the original missions. It should remain a major mission, and so we're just hoping, with a little more oversight, we're keeping our fingers crossed that we can at least continue and make it a successful lifelong learning center as it was originally conceived.
So, Councilmember Adams, is there any thought that lifelong learning mission is tenuous at this point, or because that's something that's actually close to my heart also?
I don't think of it as necessarily tenuous. I just feel like, with all the talk and all the discussion and all the words going back and forth, that we don't lose sight of that mission.
Perfect.
I'll just chime in and just say, I think, I'm the new guy still. I think I could still play that card until we're like in person and I'm actually able to assimilate in the community. But I get the sense that there was a real dampened focus on lifelong learning, the real mission, that was overshadowed by the financial realities of having to support, the operations of the fort through accommodation and hospitality. And I think my general read of the tea leaves is that there's a recognition that wasn't emphasized as much as it needed to be over the past few years, at least. And so I think that, I hear the PDA board speak to that and very well about how that really needs to be the driving force for the mission. And so now's the time to really bolster that and to, put that emphasis on what it was chartered to be in the first place.
Well, and I hope you're successful, that everybody involved with this is successful in completing that mission, because I think that it's it fits so perfectly into Port Townsend. Lifelong learning is kind of a touchstone in for many folks around here. I'll segue into another question. This is a familiar question for you, Mr. Morrow.
Pool, golf course? What do you got?
You got it right the first time. Pool. So The question is, have you heard of any problems with the scheduling procedure from the pool? There, I'm getting some comments from here and there that it's difficult to schedule a time. And if so, is there any fix to that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I could be flippant and pretend to not know, but of course, I think even going into this process, we were trying to think, how do we make this work for ourselves better? And I don't want to slam the company by name that we do our scheduling with and have done so for quite some time, but it just ain't working well. So we're working through our third party assistance through the Y and their network. This is something I addressed just yesterday or the day before with their CEO, Wendy Bart. And I had a really good conversation about how things are going, along with Steve King, who's overseeing the operations, and their staffer, Gail, who's really been, I mean, their team has been dynamite working with our team. And it's just been a really great journey together. And we have realize that, you know, there's some kinks to work out. So, you know, for instance, what I've heard is people will try to make an appointment. It's not totally clear on the site. They'll make an appointment and it'll look like it's a free appointment. Well, you can make the appointment for free, but when you come to the pool, we're still charging a nominal fee for entry. So people get confused, like, oh, I thought this was free. You know, no, it does cost a few dollars. You know, that's just, that doesn't help us. And it creates confusion on the pool end when really we're trying to get people through quickly. You know, you're given a certain amount of time to kind of get through before the next, you got 45 minutes in the pool. Boy, if I'm lap swimming myself, that's enough for me. I mean, I'm a pretty aerobic guy, but that's a lot of effort for a poor swimmer like myself. But for some, it goes quickly. I went by the pool a couple days ago, and it was just so delightful to see people in the pool that I knew who have been really advocating for opening soon with a huge smile on their face saying, John, we did it, you know, and 45 minutes for them goes pretty quick. So we really want to get as many people through as possible. And I anticipate both changes to kind of make sure the scheduling system isn't so opaque and difficult to use, as well as thinking how we both increase capacity, because right now we have four people allowed to do lap swim every hour for those, you know, 3 hours in the morning. There's one person per lane. You know, we want to increase that capacity as the guidance, you know, has allowed, as well as four people doing water, you know, deep water exercise. So not only can that serve more people, because that'll be less frustration trying to get a spot, but I think it'll also help sustain the operations of the pool better. So yeah, definitely some kinks to work out, Tim, but I think we're the team's been just truly awesome, and we're trying to work through it.
Well, Mr. Morrow, when you took this job, did you really think that you would be that far in the weeds with how many people are in the lane at the swimming pool, or that the toilet isn't working at Mountain View?
Hey, we fixed that pretty quick, didn't we, Tim?
You know, I mean, yes. You've got some good reviews, and John, if you were here, you probably would have got a standing ovation. But that is the minutiae of things in a relatively small town that we depend on folks.
I mean, I didn't know those things. I'll just be honest. I didn't think I'd be talking about lane capacity in the pool.
We forgot to tell you, did we, John? We forgot to tell you that.
But there wasn't an interview question about, you know, understanding lane capacity. There wasn't even a swim test, you know. I mean, in the deep end, you didn't even know if I could float. But you know, I do think, Tim, the minutiae matter for the residents and the visitors here who use that facility. And if I'm not across some level of the minutiae, then I'm not making good decisions. So it's my obligation to understand as much of the detail as I can, but also not get bogged down by it, because, you know, I'm hoping the community supports me thinking distant into the future and big picture and holistically. And if you're only thinking about minutiae, all you're doing is reacting. So it's some happy balance between the two.
Well, and hopefully you will have a position filled and take some of this burden off you in the future. That's my guess and hope. Council Member Adams, so you've been on the council since 2013. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What motivated you to go on the council?
I just moved here, and actually, I signed up twice, actually, and the first time I signed up to run, I was turned back because I hadn't lived here long enough. And so I tried again. And I think a couple of things motivated me. One was I had a lot of friends here who said, oh, no, you know, nobody is really running for office here. And there's a lot of apathy, which is really hard to believe now, of course. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll run. And I introduced myself to the community and had a great time learning everything and meeting people. And I only won by 16 points that first time. I had a great opponent and it was really a fun campaign. Second time I was unopposed. So, you know, I want to really encourage people to please run for council. Empty seats or run against someone, please. We need all the people that we can who are energetic and dedicated and responsible to run for council. Very, very, very important. I think I probably the only actual government entity that works in the United States regularly is local government. So it really is a pleasure and a joy. And so I encourage everybody to get interested and to learn about it and to run for office.
I do think it takes a certain type of person. You just used two words that a fun campaign. Those two words don't always go together so well. I think it takes a certain type of person that can run a campaign and have fun at the same time. And also take on that huge workload that goes along with it. We just have a few minutes left. Do you find yourself at the farmer's market and people coming to you with issues that, I mean, there's a certain amount of being out in the public in the seat that you're in.
Well, you have to try not to take anything personally. That's one of my major hopes. Because they're really worried about their situation and they're really concerned about the ability to thrive in the town. So if you don't take it personally, I think it's much easier. But generally people are kind here and I haven't had too many people stopping me and yelling at me or anything like that. So it's pretty good. And I think that the campaigns have gotten more rancorous over the years. My first campaign really was fun. And there was no rancor and there was no name calling and it was fun. And I hope it can be again.
I hope it will be again too, because I am absolutely with you. I would love to have people lined up, for a seat on the city council. It's just a sign of a healthy democracy here at the local level. So yeah, well, thank you for what you do. John, next week, I just got a note from Kate Ingram and it goes as follows. Brew Now starts at 12:30 PM next week. The first, we've just made your life a little bit more difficult because you're going to be running to a meeting at 1 o'clock. And I hope 5 minutes is enough for you to make it.
Yeah. Luckily, in the world of Zoom, I can do anything anywhere. And luckily, it's the grace of Steve King that I need to work with because I have my weekly catch up with him at once. So no harm, no foul. I'll figure it out. And as long as folks don't tune in early and, you know, I feel like they'll just be treated to some great music at 12:15 instead of my voice. Might be a better deal.
Well, you know. Today, Dick Dale is pretty hard to beat, but, you know, it's not always that way. KPTZ, you never know what's going to come. I want to thank both of you for being on here. Just a reminder, everybody, if you tune in to Brewocracy Now, we have a new time, 12:30, effective next week, 12:30 until 5 minutes till 1. And this is also our Flash Fund fundraiser here for KPTZ. So if you are the type of person that tunes in and to Brewocracy Now to find out what's going on in this town, it's an excellent time to go to kptz.org, press the blue button. Think of it as a subscription to your community, because that is really why we are here. And we've been supported so well by this community. I want to thank everybody that are current members also.
We want to thank you too. We I'm a total fan of KPTZ. Thank you so much for supporting your local government and all the rest of us who live here.
Thank you to both of you. Brewocracy Now, 12:30 now on KPTZ. Always with John Morrow, and we're working our way through the city council members. It's been a lot of fun, John. That was John's idea, and I really appreciate it because it's just so nice to have those different voices.
Yeah, well, these are the folks who work really hard, doing way more meetings than just city council with barely any compensation to help steer the future of the city. So let's understand who they are and what motivates them. And we're going to be at number 7 next week with Amy Howard. Councilmember Howard will be the last council member to do this in 7 straight weeks. So then what, Tim? We'll have to figure it out.
Right. Thank you both. Everybody Can, coming up on KPTZ.